What is a HELOC? How do I get a HELOC? Can I get multiple HELOCs? Can I get a HELOC on investment property? All those questions get answered in this podcast. And so this year I crossed $10 million in real estate holdings, and I've also crossed $6 million in real estate debt. So I know a thing or two about getting loans. And so in this episode, I share with you that this year alone, we've got four HELOCs, and I'll share with you the process and how we did it, why we did it, and some things to look out for that even once you have a HELOC, like how to use it to best grow your net worth, to best grow that money, and some shoulds and should nots to do with that money. So without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Everything Goes My Way podcast with your host, Logan Manzanettis. So this year, I have now in the process of getting my fourth HELOC. Yes, fourth HELOC. And so one of the most common questions I get when people are trying to buy real estate is, how do I find money? Where do I access it? And one of the best ways that you can do that is called looking for money you already have that you don't even realize you have. And a lot of that can be trapped in a home in equity. And then after I tell people that, then they have investment properties, they have other real estate. They ask me, well, can I get two HELOCs? Or how does that all work? And so because I am possibly getting my fourth one now, and we just crossed the $10 million in real estate. And with that being said, I've got $6 million in debt as well. I know a thing or two about actually buying real estate. And one of my biggest assets is my ability to actually get loans. And I've used so many different types of loans, like bridge loans, like HELOCs, 30-year debts, ARMs, 7-year, 5-year, 3 years. And DCSR loans, qualified loans, like so many different types of loans. And so with that being said, let's go ahead and let's kind of dive in a little bit about HELOCs. So what is a HELOC? First off, well, the definition of HELOC is a home equity line of credit, which is essentially like getting a credit card, but it's secured against your home. And so what is the difference actually between a credit card and a HELOC? Well, number one is the amount that you can actually get. So a credit card, good luck going to American Express or going to MasterCard and saying, hey, can I get a $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 credit card? They're gonna be like, get out of here. Get out of here. And so that is one of the benefits of a HELOC, is that it's literally like a credit card. And so a HELOC is a revolving credit line, which means that if they give you a $50,000 line, you can spend $50,000, you can pay it off in whatever amount of time frame, and you only pay interest when it is out. So one of the biggest reasons why I tell people to go get a HELOC if you have equity in your home, which we'll talk about here in a second, because it literally doesn't cost you anything outside of once you get it set up. It doesn't cost you anything for just to sit there. So it becomes like an emergency fund, just a really big emergency fund. And if you actually come across a really good deal, whether it be real estate or whether it be a business opportunity, whether it just be something, or maybe it's an emergency. Maybe you have to pay $25,000 to save your son's life, to save your wife's life, to save your life. You have that sitting there. And it costs less than $1,000 to get set up. So I think it's one of the best hidden money that people have. So that's what a HELOC is. That's one of the differences. Another difference between a HELOC and a credit card is actually the interest rate. So credit cards, interest rates are normally 18, 19, 20. They can get sky high, right? Like, it's not reasonable. It's not feasible for you to actually pay for something with a credit card and then pay 20% on it. It's not feasible. With a HELOC, though, you can get rates down, and now obviously right now, if you're like, when you're listening to this, the rates are gonna change. But our first HELOC we got for like 4%, right? So you get 4% money. 5%, 6%, 7% is where it is at now. And how the bank structures that is really just dependent on the bank itself. So it can be structured in two ways. It can be structured where it's actually amortized, where you have a monthly payment, but a portion of that payment also pays the principal down as well and the interest. And so that's one way. Or the second way is that it could be interest only payments, where you're only paying interest and the balance of your what you have out never gets paid down. So that's where you have to know what that is when you're talking to your lender. Also, you could have a variable rate or you have a fixed rate. So my first one I had this year was a fixed rate, where that interest rate, it was fixed in at 4%. Okay. And so no matter what interest rates did, it stayed the same. Now I have one that actually floats with whatever prime is. And so prime is just a fancy word of saying whatever the government has an interest rate. Everyone talks about the Fed and these movements of interest rates. Like, that's essentially what it's tied to. And it's like a certain percentage above prime. Okay. So basically they just want to make sure that they're always making their spread. So, and then on that type of payment, it does move, it does float. Those are generally only interest-only payments if you're doing that type of HELOC. And then as far as the rest of the terms go, there's usually a 10-year draw period, okay? So these are structured still as 30-year notes, and they're structured as a 10-year draw period, which means you have the first 10 years, you actually can draw on it. You can pull it, you can let it sit, and then after that 10 years, it'll automatically go into a term loan. So it means that after the 10 years and you've drawn on it, you've gone back and forth, and let's say you still have $3,000 out, it automatically turns into a term loan for the remaining 20 years, and whatever interest rate is, it'll get fixed in there, and it'll also be amortized as well. And at that point, then your ability to draw on it goes away, okay? And so, of course, you could get a new interest, you could get a new HELOC, but your current terms that you had, it'll start after 10 years, and then the remaining 20 years will be a term loan. The next piece of that is, well, how does a HELOC actually get structured when it comes to your lien positions? And so one way is that if you have no note on your property, okay, which means that you own your home free and clear, you get a HELOC on your property, well, that HELOC will go into first position. And so if your HELOC's in first position, you actually can get a higher debt to loan, and you have a bigger HELOC, or excuse me, a bigger credit line on that base, because you don't have a first position loan on there. Now if it's in second position, which is most likely where most of your HELOCs are going to be, is in second position, they usually let you go up to about 75 to 80%. Okay. Every lender is a little bit different. It just really just depends on the lender. However, I learned this as well, that if your first position loan is with that lender, they'll let you go up to 85% because they're mitigating their risk because they own the first and the second. But if they don't own the first one, most likely they're going to only let you, take a HELOC up to 75 or 80% of the loan to value of the property. Okay. So, that's basically what a HELOC is. And so primarily HELOCs are going to be on your primary home. And so out of the four HELOCs I've got, three of them have been in my primary home. I just continued to get new HELOCs because we kept on value adding our property, which meant our value went up. And so I got a bigger HELOC, which allowed us to actually pay for the renovations of the upgrading of the primary home that we're living in. Now, one of the most common questions I get, though, is can you get a HELOC on an investment property? And so if you go to 10 banks, 9.5 of them are going to tell you no, okay? And so I was very fortunate that half a person, that not even real person, did give me a HELOC on an investment property. So a HELOC on investment property is structured very similarly to how it would get structured on primary. The only difference is that they'll have less loan to value. So I believe on mine, it's only 70% is what they allowed me to go loan to value on. And I also had to, and the property had to have enough equity in it. And I had to show that I pay all my debts back, have a good credit score, all that good stuff that goes with it, show my taxes, my returns, my income, my balance sheets, my P&Ls, all that stuff to get a HELOC on a investment property. So can it be done? Yes. Is it typical? No. But if you call around to enough people, you can do it. Now, if you don't want to call 20 banks and get 19 no's, another thing you can do is if you have a business, you can go in there and say, do you guys offer business loans? And sometimes they actually, depending on your type of business, you can just get a business loan that acts like a line of credit, and the terms can be favorable depending on, again, how much money you make, how much you have in assets, how much that you can secure the bank's position against. But also, if you don't have a business that has a ton of securable assets, that a bank can be like, hey, like if shit hits the fan, I can go take, you know, pieces of your business and I can go sell it off to get my money back. If you don't have that, then you can actually, what you can do though, is you can get a line of credit on your business, but you can secure it against your investment property if that was your intention to begin with. So that's another cool trick you can use. Another thing you can do that is not necessarily a line of credit, but if you have a property that has a ton of equity, which is what we had, a property that had like $400,000 equity, and I didn't want to take away our first position loan because it was like a 3.65, right? Like we got this in 2021. It was a great rate, and I didn't want to refinance it, but I couldn't find another bank to give me a second position line of credit so I could tap into that equity. So what I did is I found a private lender who had some money that they wanted to deploy. So I said, hey, like, you give me $150,000, I'll put you in second position. We agreed on interest rates. And now, while it wasn't a line of credit, so I can't like pay it back and give it back to him, I was able to tap that equity because I secured him in a second position. He felt safe because he had all this equity. He gave me $150,000, just $400,000 in equity. So like worst case scenario, he was still protected. That's how I tapped that equity without using a line of credit. So that's a different strategy you can also use if you can't find somebody to give you a second on an investment property. So outside of that, HELOCs are a great way to tap into some money that you didn't even realize you probably had. And again, if you have at least 75% equity in your property, then you should look into that to see if you can get it. And the process is really simple. You go to the bank, you tell them your situation. Again, you need to have a reasonable that your home has that much equity in it. And then you'll go through the process. You have to show them your taxes. They'll have to do either an appraisal or a CMA. So again, depending on how big it is, they might only have you do a CMA, which is basically a real estate agent who comes out and does like an analysis, which is like $500 cheaper than doing an appraisal. And then once you actually have the HELOC, then how do you use it? That's the next question, right? And so you can use it to upgrade your current home to give it more value. You can use it as short-term lending is what I recommend for most people. So like if you want to do like a bridge loan, or if you have another investment property that you need to fix and flip it, or you're going to burn it out and you need short-term money, that's a great opportunity for it, so you can pay it back. Or if you do find a rental property, you just factor in that payment, what it's going to be, into what your existing payment is on the rental paper as well, on an existing rental property as well. So basically you're gonna have two payments, right? So let's say that you find this investment property and it's worth $200,000. You need $50,000 as a down payment to put down on it. And after all said and done, that is gonna cash flow $1,000 a month, okay? Which means that when you take your first loan, and let's say that your first position loan on it is $300. And then your second position loan, which is your HELOC, is another $300. That means you have $600, and then you have the rest of your interest, insurance, and all that other stuff. And let's say you should lift over $200 a month. Then at that point, does it make sense for you to use your HELOC on that property long-term? Sure, maybe, right? But that's the kind of the calculation you're doing, is you just want to include that extra payment into something if you're buying something long-term, like another investment property. But a HELOC is a great alternative to getting in credit cards. It's a great alternative to doing a refinance. And again, primarily, it's going to be used on your primary home. Now, another way you can get two HELOCs as well is you can just move. And that's another thing that we're looking at doing as well, is that so now we have a HELOC on this property. Once we move into another property, again, as long as there's enough equity in there, then we can go get a second HELOC on that property, and we have two open HELOCs again for the remaining 10 years, as long as the draw period is open. Now we have two lines of credits based on the equity in our properties. So that is how you can use HELOCs. And you know what? If you get any value from this and you're like, you have more questions, you can totally reach out to me. I'm at Instagram. I'm on Instagram at Logan Lee Manzanares. And I'm also on YouTube at Logan Lee Manzanares as well. And so without further ado, I'm out.